Well, I have to say, I heard about the game between Sleachnaill and Ballinderry Reserves and the brawl at that match. I didn't see that video, but I did watch last night the video of the Division 1 game in the Down All County Football League between Downpatrick, Russell Union, and Ballyholland. Really, Downpatrick and Ballyholland would be how you describe them. And they are two fine clubs. They are two clubs which we would be proud to be associated with. I'm having a glance here at the game between Ballinderry and Sleachnaill at the moment, and that's an all-out fight on the field between a significant number of players. I'm not seeing anything going into the crowd at this one, and I can't be sure, but I think it dies down after the brawl on the pitch. That's the game between Sleachnaill and Ballinderry Reserves in the Derry competition. But to go back to the Down game, and this is the match between Downpatrick, Russell Gaelic Union, and Ballyholland Harps. Now, Downpatrick and Ballyholland both have very good names in Gaelic sports. There are people working hard in Downpatrick to provide a sporting platform for youngsters to be involved in, for young people to develop, and indeed they are knocking on the door of success each year. They haven't won a significant amount recently, but they're always a club who you expect to be up towards the top of any league that they take part in. The same with Ballyholland. Ballyholland have been, they've been there from probably day one in terms of the GAA, and they've had, I suppose, something of a roller coaster history where they've been in the higher leagues, they've been in the lower leagues, but again, they've always been very well respected. However, all of that can be undone, absolutely undone, with one Gaelic football match. And when it's caught on video, it's shameful when it's not caught on video, but when it's filmed by people standing there and put up on YouTube, well, it does such a disservice to the image of Gaelic sport. I want to speak to Barry O'Donnell, who's from the Gaelic Life newspaper, who covers all of these issues. Barry, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Barry, to put people in the picture here, and I'm sure you're aware of this, there was a bit of history between Downpatrick and Ballyholland at a previous game this season, so much so that they played the second league game at a neutral venue in Kilcoo. And once that is a decision, you're concerned that there's going to be bad blood between the players on the field, and sometimes that manifests itself, and a referee has to be totally across it. A referee can do very little when the fighting starts. It looks like as if it starts in the crowd, and then the players go into the crowd and they get involved as well. Not all of them, but a significant number of them. I think just those are the worst pictures I've ever seen emanate from a Gaelic football ground.
Yeah, Frank, and sadly there's been a depressing sequence of such incidents over the last sort of few months, you know, and it's, whether it's a copycat effect, who knows. Listen, Frank, going down through the years, the GAA, it's built on parish rivalries, as is a lot of sports, you know, but, you know, it's this filtering down, and as you said, with the date, the times that we're in, the social media times, people are posting these videos and they're going viral within instances, but, you know, it's the scenes over the last few weeks have been truly shocking, and do none of the clubs, as you said, well-respected and well-established clubs, but they do nobody any service.
So let's concentrate on the higher profile one, which is the game between Downpatrick and Ballyholland, a top tier football in Down. What must the GAA in the county do now to those two clubs?
Well, you know, there will be the usual appeal process. First of all, the referee, as you said, Frank, the referee's helpless, but the referees obviously are instructed just to be observers in such cases and sort of to consult with their linesmen and other match officials, just to take on board what they view. And then the referees will present their match report to the county boards, who will then go through the normal due process of an investigation. And after that, whatever sanctions or penalties they do fit the crime, so to speak, they will pinpoint certain individuals and perhaps penalise the clubs financially. So that's usually the channels that these circumstances that we go through.
Could it go as far as both clubs being put out of the league?
Well, that would be the ultimate sanction. And again, you obviously leave yourselves open then to the appeal process, and it can get quite messy. And at times, maybe the county boards have been culpable, certainly, of going through perhaps lesser sanctions and lesser penalties because of they fear what the response would be from clubs, which isn't ideal or satisfactory all round. And perhaps, you know, certainly in the past, perhaps lenient sentences have been part of the problem, where there hasn't been a precedent set for particular clubs. And as we've seen, these sort of incidents are becoming sadly more random and certainly reoccurring far too often.
Now, social media is there. Everything is filmed. People will capture it on video. I'm not for a moment suggesting that it was any better when we didn't have social media, and it did happen in the past. But we would have thought, with the general education of people, the development of society, that the sort of brawls, and they're more than brawls, it is violence, the sort of violence that we saw, that we're seeing on these videos, that would by now be eradicated through the great work that's being done in the GAA. Why are so many players off message and getting involved and letting their jersey down, their club down, their county down, and most importantly of all, themselves down?
You know, Frank, that's the question. As you said, you think back, I'm sure there's, going back over the years, we've heard from many colourful characters about sort of colourful games where players have had teams have had to ride out of town with a tail between their legs with the other team running after them. These are sort of fireside chat that you hear from the bygone days. But there was always a certain manliness about the game, it seemed, in the past. But now, as you said, it's just that sort of this wanton thuggery at times, for want of a better word. And I don't know, is it a society issue as such? Younger ones maybe were on about, you look at the most, not that poor O'Connor McGregor's getting the blame for everything these days, but maybe that's the day and age that we're living in. You've seen the scene sort of in Las Vegas at his fight too, where there was violence and that went viral within moments. So it's unfortunately, it's a society issue, and GAA is very much part of this society. And you know, we have the health and well-being committees running within every club, which do tremendous jobs, Frank. But you think that perhaps they need to maybe branch out and look at this sort of wanton violence as part of the remit, you know, as we head into the close season.
You know, Barry, you mentioned Conor McGregor, and it was the next thing on my lips, because the incident after his fight in America is very similar to what we're seeing between Downpatrick and Ballyholland. Okay, not on that scale, but it's a similar process whereby the people climb over a fence to get involved. They actually go out of their way to get involved. And when it's brought back under control, they get involved again. And far too many, and I should say one player outside the pitch involved in a fight is one too many. But to have a significant number of players outside the fence fighting in the crowd, that is shameful. That is playing absolutely into the hands of people who want to condemn the GAA. They've got a penalty kick there. They can show that wherever they like and say the GAA are a bunch of thugs. You know they're not. I know they're not. But the evidence there in that video suggests that some of them are. And I do emphasise that not everyone from Downpatrick or Ballyholland was involved, but those who were involved should be ashamed.
Hugely, hugely frustrating, Frank, as you said. I know, based in Tyrone here myself, I've seen recent sort of shameful scenes, but I've also seen tremendous games through the course of the Tyrone Club Championship, so sprinkled with sparkling individual skill and tremendous scores. But, you know, they're sadly, in the times we're in, such scores and such goals, they're not going to go viral on social media. It's just the times we're in. And the GAA, you know, it can't be cocooned from society. If these instances, as we know, it's probably a cliche at this stage, but if they happened at 1:30 on a Saturday morning on our high streets around the country, I think we know what the legal implications would be, you know. And just because it happens on a field of play, it doesn't mean that players shouldn't realise their responsibility for their actions, and particularly, you know, the well-being of their opponents, albeit it to be a fierce sporting rivalry. But, you know, they still have to be cognizant of the fact that these are sort of neighbours and, you know, young people like themselves who have their work to go to on a Monday morning. And, you know, the implications of serious injury in a sporting field should have to be borne in mind at all times.
Yeah, you do say neighbours. I don't really get it on this one, however, Barry, because the distance between Downpatrick and Ballyholland is significant there. It's an hour and a half's drive between those two clubs. It's not like as if it's Ballyholland and Bourne or Ballyholland and Mayo Bridge and they fall out and they make up after it. And, you know, I'm sure there's been many a bit of a ruckus which got resolved very quickly between neighbouring clubs. This goes beyond that, and there seems to have been some concern about it beforehand when they went to a neutral venue. There's been bad blood between them from a previous game, and players have ended up with broken bones as a result of this fight. This is violence. That's the only way that I can describe that.
Yeah,
it's very, very, very sad.
Absolutely, and as you said, Frank, even the benefit of hindsight, you know, clearly this bad blood had been festering. You think somebody could have mediated beforehand. Somebody at the county board got involved just to monitor the situation or try and calm whatever hostility there was that had sort of erupted between the two clubs. But, you know, sadly it was too late, and maybe there was a sad inevitability about this incident, Pat or Frank.
This is true. Hopefully other clubs will learn from it, and maybe it'll be a talking point in dressing rooms at training tonight or tomorrow night, especially with big games still to come as the season reaches a conclusion. Barry, you'll be writing about it in the paper. It'll be, of course, in Gaelic Life, and if people want to keep across everything in Tyrone, they can read about what's happening there in the Ulster Herald. Thanks for your time, Barry. Thank you.
Thank you again, Frank. Thank you.
That's Barry O'Donnell, the sports editor there. Your opinions are welcome, by all means. If there's anyone who thinks it's acceptable, I would like to hear from you. No doubt there'll be some idiot out there who will say, ah, sure, it's the way they always go on. Well, it isn't the way they always go on. There are fine athletes playing Gaelic sport, the length and breadth of the island of Ireland and beyond, and they don't behave like some, and I emphasise some of those players and some of those supporters associated with Downpatrick and Ballyholland. And it's a real shame on the good lads who stood back and who weren't involved. I'm sure they're as embarrassed as I would be as someone who follows the game. Right, 24 minutes to 11, 028 90 333 105. Good morning to you. We speak to Bill, who's on line 3. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Frank. Frank, just listening to the conversation you had with the last gentleman regarding the violence at the GAA match there, I would suggest that over the years, GAA in particular has seen more violent outbursts than perhaps any other sport, and indeed, I'll go on to say, perhaps more serious injury and fatalities than most other sports, i.e. football, rugby type thing. And I would say that it's probably to do with a mindset within the actual organisation itself and within the players that they're being overly competitive. Now, sport is competitive by nature, but I think the GAA is just really taking it one step too far. And, I mean, what else? I mean, people, your last speaker talked about societal problems and Conor McGregor. I think that's a lot of nonsense, you know. I think it's to do with the sport itself and the actual organisation itself.
The point you're making about Conor McGregor, the mixed martial arts seems to have people on the periphery of it, maybe people who are involved in it, who seem to deal in violence. We've had examples of that. For example, the incident with the large bus that was highly profiled, the fighting after the contest on Saturday night. So you expect in mixed martial arts there to be an aggression, because what's happening inside the octagon is incredibly aggressive. You expect on a field where football is being played it to be robust and energetic and combative and all of that, but you don't expect violence either on the pitch and especially not off the pitch. It does happen. And I presume the rivalry is intense. I know the rivalry is intense between many clubs, but that rivalry usually manifests itself in the cut and thrust of enjoyable sport. You say there are many examples of violence, and Yes, there are. You could probably release a DVD of violent incidents within Gaelic sport, but it's no more violent than, say, what happens on rugby pitches. It's just that on the rugby pitch, you have the cut and thrust, but you rarely, if ever, see it manifest itself beyond the sidelines, out among the fans. This is what makes this particular incident so bad. I'm not in any way condoning fighting on the field. That should not happen. But this particular incident is out on what would be called the terrace, and that makes it a despicable act.
Yeah, but why? I mean, you talked about rugby. Rugby's probably one of the most physical sports that you can be. People are in contact, players are in contact with each other, more so than the likes of football and GAA games there. But at the end of the day, as you say, there's less actual violence on the pitch and off the pitch as well, too. So it's not just the players that are on the pitch, it's the players. It's a bit like, you know, the Saturday or Sunday morning dad going to watch his son playing football, you know, a 7-8-year-old playing football, and, you know, he's throwing out violent, abusive language at the referee or going crazy on the pitch, you know, because, you know, his son's team's losing, you know. So it's a mindset of the people involved, the spectators and the players on the pitch, and I just believe that it's become overly competitive. People, young players are being geared up, and I think if you look at the sort of fatalities over the year, and I don't have the stats to compare that with the likes of rugby or football, with the deaths of young GAA players there, but, I mean, can that be to do with sort of overtraining? Can it to do with food supplements? You know, things that they're actually taking to enhance performance, things like that. But to me, it's a balance between the game itself being played out there and obviously the people who are not so much organising the game, because once you organise a game, I mean, you have very little control over it, but the people on the bench, the spectators as well too, sometimes, you know, are, you know, arousing the players, basically, you know, to the sort of or inciting the players to be even more aggressive. So I don't think you see that in other sports as you would in GAA. And I mean, going back, I mean, I can remember when I was a very young boy, maybe 12 years of age plus in secondary school, mixed school, mixed religion, mixed gender. But there were a lot of Gaelic players there, and boy, were they competitive. You would not have been able, out in the playground, you would not have been able to touch the ball. They would have kicked the you-know-what out of you if you touched the ball. So, I mean, this isn't just a problem that's here now. This is a problem I'm talking about 40, 45 years ago. So there's been an inherent problem, whereas that attitude didn't prevail with other sports. And I'm not trying to look at it in a slanted view because people of a certain religion play that. I'm not into that at all, Frank, believe me. But I do believe that the GAA, it's been overly competitive, and there's just no controls. And, I mean, you're talking about the fines or the repercussions or the penalties that might be incurred. I mean, what penalties? You talk about financial penalties. These are amateur clubs. They're not pro clubs. So what penalty fines are you going to put on them? £10, £15, £20? And the people concerned giving a slap on the wrist, and then they play the next game. So there's no deterrent. So, I mean, this sort of thing will continue to go on and on and on with GAA unless there is a change of mindset.
Okay, Bill, it's pretty damning analysis of how you see the GAA. In fairness, the fines would be higher than you've suggested. The ultimate sanction, of course, would be to put them out of the league, to relegate them. And for clubs, that would be a crisis, because they certainly would not, neither Downpatrick nor Ballyholland would want to have to go down a division. They would not want, I'll give you a simple example of this. If they had an underage team in a final, as one of them indeed do in the near future, they wouldn't want that team to be suspended on the back of the senior team. The whole club could be suspended. These are sanctions that are open to the GAA. The entire club could be suspended. And likewise with Downpatrick, there are very severe sanctions, but there is an appeals process, and the appeals process very often dilutes things. I understand where you're coming from on that. As for the rough and tumble of Gaelic sport, I played it all my life, and I was never fearful of being out on the field. I played soccer as well on a Saturday, and you were more likely to get the ankles whipped from under you back in the 70s and 80s playing soccer, which I think maybe you're more protected now. But that rugby, of course, a real man's game where blood is spilled. But the aggression, it's a very good point that Bill makes about the aggression and encouraging people to be aggressive from the sideline. That does happen in Gaelic football with some clubs, and it is unacceptable. And now that you're caught in the absolute media spotlight of social media, maybe extra tuition is needed for young men, young women playing the game, particularly young men who show the aggression, that it reflects very poorly on them and their club. Someone saying, what about Slochneil and Ballanderry reserves? I mentioned this a little earlier. The clip I saw from that, all the fighting was on the actual field. If it spilled out into the crowd, I'm not sure, but the clip I saw, it was all on the field. That doesn't make it any better, but it actually makes the Downpatrick Ballyhoolan game worse, because it was out off the field. This fighting was along the bank and they climbed over the fence to do the fighting. Someone's asking, what about ice hockey? Well, ice hockey, you know, I'm led to believe that it's pantomime fighting in ice hockey. I do not know. It reflects very poorly if you see people throwing fists, but there's nothing pantomime about that game between Downpatrick and Ballyhooland. I'll throw up the video on Twitter for you. You can have a look at it if you haven't as yet seen it. I would like your opinions on it. 0289 033 105. How much of a disservice have those players, those who were involved in that fight on Sunday, how much of a disservice have they done to the Gaelic Athletic Association?